Good morning. Everybody doing all right today? Maybe a little soggy, but hey, it's a good day to be alive, right? This is the day that the Lord has made. We are going to rejoice and be glad in it as we gather for this Sunday just prior to Christmas. What a glorious opportunity that we have to be able to come together and be together in the house of the Lord during a very, very special time of the year. If you happen to be visiting with us, we welcome you today. If you happen to be joining us for the first time as part of our online audience, we're glad that you're here. If you're part of our online group, be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito. He is there with you. I'm sure that he would love to give you a hearty hello, or you can even use an emoji or something, give him a wave. And not only that, listen, everybody look around you today. Give somebody a good wave and a smile. Make sure you have a smile on your face. Don't be typical. Don't be sitting there going, yeah. Hey, like I said, it's a glorious opportunity that we have, and God has gifted us because we got up this morning. We have this opportunity to be able to gather with like-minded believers, to gather around His Word, and what a beautiful, beautiful time of the year. So as we begin, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to You today, again, we do so with grateful and thankful hearts. Lord, what a special time of the year it is when we celebrate the birth of Your Son and our Savior. Father, what a glorious event that was, and we, Lord, just look forward today to gathering around Your Word and allowing You the opportunity to speak into our hearts, to move us close to You. Father, as always, we pray that if there's somebody within the sound of my voice that doesn't know You, we pray that today there would truly be conviction of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that they might surrender their life to You, and Lord, just to anxiously await eternal life. Father, today we ask that You would help us as we clear our hearts and minds, that we might be receptive to the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. Today, if we have come seeking a blessing, then we will find it. Your Word tells us to seek and we will find, to knock and it shall be opened unto us. So today, Lord, as we open Your Word, may we truly have a heart and a mindset that we want to meet You in this place today. Lord, help us not to let the familiarity of the story make it redundant in our lives to the point that we just go through the Christmas story and this Christmas time and Christmas season on autopilot. Help us, Father, to stop today, to pause and to reflect on Your goodness, Your greatness in our lives. And Lord, we'll praise You in advance for what we know that You'll do as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. 87, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive.
Turn to hymn number 91. Let me mention Silent Night as we're about to sing, and tonight we'll be singing some of these again, as we do hope to have guests from the community inviting us, so we're looking forward to that at 6 o'clock. And do dress warmly. It's going to be 43 by the time we start and 39 by the time we leave, but hopefully no precipitation by then, so that's good. It'll be a nice, cozy evening. Silent night, holy night.
Emmanuel, I have the
Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at passages out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. If you would, go ahead and turn there with me. And I'm going to do this real quick. Vicki, if you would, come on up here for just a second. Last week we had the opportunity to recognize I call it the nuts and the bolts, the people that make things work at Central Baptist Church. And then any time that you have multiple people doing things, that can create for an issue. So, you know, I thought Brent had Vicki, and Brent thought I had Vicki, and neither one of us had Vicki. But I wanted to let you know that, as you've seen, Vicki does a marvelous job as our pianist here at Central Baptist Church, as well as singing and keeping us laughing around here. But we wouldn't be able to be where we are without her. So I want to make sure that we take the time not to overlook Miss Vicki, because I love her. And thank you. I already made sure that last Sunday night we gave her a little something that we had for her, but I didn't want her to go without being recognized. It's not like you folks don't get a chance to see her a lot, but you don't always get to hear her a lot. And we appreciate the heart, the time, the effort, and everything that Vicki puts in to share her talent and ability that God has given her with us here at the Lord. And honoring our Lord and Savior, we appreciate you so much. If you think that's easy, jump up there and try to drive that thing a little bit. You'll find out different. I know that I can't, but I'm thankful for those like Vicki who do. Also, I want to remind you that in just a little bit, as we take our offering, I do want to remind you of our in-gathering for Lottie Moon. What we're going to do is we're just going to have you put your Lottie Moon offering in the offering plate as it comes around. So I wanted to go ahead and remind you, because I know there'll be some of you out there going, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that." Well, that'll give you something to do while I preach, but make sure you leave at least one ear open, but write that check for Lottie Moon. Once again, this is what keeps our missionaries, our foreign missionaries on the field. Every bit of the money that you give goes specifically to that designated Lottie Moon. If you don't have one of the Lottie Moon envelopes, you can take one of those out of the back of the pews that JC does such a good job keeping us stocked up on. You can write Lottie Moon on that and drop it in there, and we will make sure that it gets where it's going. Yeah, this is the time of the year when we get invitations for a lot of things, don't we? I mean, you'll get things in the mail, whether you work in an office, whether it's an office Christmas party, whether it's a neighborhood or a community gathering. There are times throughout the year, not only right now, but there are times throughout the year that we will receive invitations to weddings or parties and those kind of things. And some people get really, really fancy with their invitations, don't they? You know, you'll receive something and it says, "You are cordially invited the honor of your presence is requested at such and such a place." How many of y'all have gotten something like that at least over this past year? You know, whatever the case may be, you have gotten this invitation. Now, some of them will have this RSVP, you know, and you know what that means. A lot of us sit back and say, "Well, I know what it means. I can't tell you exactly what the RS, the V, and the P stand for, but that means I need to let them know I'm coming," right? All right, now, it's interesting that we live in a world where we don't generally like to do that. You know why? Because that causes us to be committed to something. We'll feel bad if we RSVP and then we don't show up. Or at least they used to. Now, the world's changing rapidly, isn't it? But anyway, RSVP basically means, let me know if you're coming. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes it's because they need to know how many people to prepare for or whatever the case may be, how many that they can bring into a certain area. Sometimes it may be limited. There are many, many reasons. Now, we know what that cordially invited means. We know what an invitation is. Now, the question is whether or not you accept the invitation. Now, when you think about it, there are some that you get and you kind of open it up and you're really excited about. Man, it's like, "Oh man, I can't wait to get to this. This is a wedding of my best friend's child," or what have you. You really are excited about being able to do it. Some of them you open up and you're like, yeah. Some of them you accept because you really, really want to go. Some of them, let's just say, you don't. Well, when I say you don't really want to go, but you go anyway because you feel obligated to go. Yeah. How many of y'all have done one? I'm not going to ask you what it is, but you've gone because you feel pretty obligated, and you were sitting there complaining the whole way. You're sitting there going, "That's just a waste of my life. I'm going to have to spend an hour down here or 2 hours. I'll tell you what, as soon as we make the rounds to the room, we're going to hit the door, and we're going to get on out of here, and we're going to do our... Listen, stay away from them heavy hors d'oeuvres over there. We're going to get something to eat when we leave." We've all been there, haven't we? Some of those invitations we have taken because we feel that sense of responsibility. Some of those invitations we looked at and said, "I ain't going." Yeah. You're like, "I appreciate the invitation, but file 13. Never thought twice about it." And then somebody will say, "Well, we missed you at the party the other day." "Oh, we just had so much going on. We had so much to do. We couldn't make it." Yeah. Some of them you're just not going to go to at all. You've made your mind up once you got it that it is not worth you wasting your life over for any period of time, and you've just decided this is not going to happen. Now, there have also been some of those that we decided we didn't want to go to, but later on we found out that we missed out on something. Have you ever been there? You're like, "Man, I tell you what, we should have gone to that. I just didn't want to do it, but we should have gone, and we missed out on something really eventful and really, really special." Now, I want you to think about invitations for a moment. I want you to think about how we respond to those particular invitations. And the reason why is because we place value on what the invitation is. You know, that's what we do. You know, we'll anticipate things, but the invitation to Bethlehem is what we want to talk about this morning. You know, we're heading into this week of Christmas, and we see that at the birth of the Savior, you have to remember there had been a lot of time that had passed since the prophesied Messiah had come onto the scene. In fact, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, you think back to the days of Moses and the Old Testament prophets, how they prophesied of a coming Messiah. You think about the 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then all of a sudden this flurry of activity comes around. There were invitations that needed to go out, and there were invitations that did go out. Now, I think most of us can see where I'm going with this morning. That invitation still goes out. This morning, let me tell you some exciting news. You are cordially invited into the presence of the Savior. Yes, you. The invitation is gold embossed. In fact, it is etched with blood. The blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And He comes to each and every one of us personally with that invitation to join Him for all of eternity. Now the question is, how will you react to the Father's invitation? Did you look at it and say, "Wow, man, I feel so privileged. I feel so blessed to have the opportunity to be able to attend this, and I wouldn't miss it for the world. I'm going." Or did you look at the invitation and say, "Well, if there's nothing better, I'll think about attending"? Or did you look at it and just say, "File 13, I'm not going. I'm not going to waste my time with that whatsoever." Now, you also remember what I said a moment ago. There have been invitations that we have received before where we file 13 them and then later on found out we really missed out on something. I don't want it to be that way when it comes down to Christ with each and every one of us. Because here's the thing. Remember what we talked about at the start of this message? There is an RSVP. Remember what that means? That means that you respond to let them know you're coming. You know, we sing songs as we've grown up around the church. You remember one of them we used as an invitation hymn a lot. "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and calling for me." Think about that for a moment. He has come by. He's knocked on your heart's door to personally deliver the invitation to receive His Son as Lord and Savior. Have you RSVP'd to that invitation? I want you to think about that for a moment, because the passages that we're going to look out of Luke's Gospel chapter 2 gives us a lot of insight into those who were invited at the birth of our Savior. Look with me if you would. Luke's Gospel chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Let's pray together. Now, Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for your invitation to each and every one of us. Lord, we can only imagine what it must have been like that particular evening of your birth. Lord, that the excitement, the flurry of activity that had taken place, the long-awaited arrival of the incarnate Messiah. Lord, today as we look back over time, we continue to wait, Lord, for your return to carry us into your presence. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue with the excitement and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in time we shall see you face to face. But as for now, Father, this time that we call the age of grace, you present to us and extend your invitation to spend eternity with you. May each and every one of us truly RSVP to that opportunity that you have been given us, the personal invitation to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, which provides salvation and allows us to spend eternal life with you. Lord, for these moments, may we look inside and may the Spirit lead us and guide us in ways that we've never been led before. Father, may we be attentive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us in these moments and in this time and in this place and in our personal lives right where we are. Father, right now, I pray that you would use me as your messenger for these moments, that you might truly be lifted up and exalted above all things. And Lord, just do something special today in each individual heart and each individual life. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've been talking about invitations. And as we look at these particular passages, we see multiple invitations. Throughout the whole Christmas story, we see that there were invitations to come and to see the Christ child. Those invitations still go out today. Who were the first ones to receive some of those invitations? Think about the heavenly beings that we read about in our passage this morning that were there. Remember, it talked about how the angel had made appearances, but I want you to think for a moment about the heavenly host that was praising God and singing glory to God in the highest. Have you thought about what that scene must have been like around the manger with the heavenly beings? Not just the ones that actually showed up there in the flesh, but when they arrived and had the opportunity to see the heavenly courts that were there singing praises to the name of our Father. Now think about it for a moment. Could you imagine what that must have been like? Yeah, what kind of feeling and thought would you have had? Would you have been afraid yourself? I mean, if you would have walked into that situation, by the way, that there was some supernatural things going on there. There were some supernatural things that were taking place. When you see heavenly beings, I don't know about you, but I've never seen those with my own eyes. Have you? I mean, think for just a moment. If you could see the unseen world that is going on right now, if you could see the spirit world in your presence right now, you would see great battles going on over the hearts and the souls of the people that are even in this place. You might even literally see angelic combat with demonic presence, as it were, as well. Yeah, it's fighting for your attention, fighting for the Savior's knowledge in your soul, fighting that the open path of the Father may get your attention today, that it would be something different than just coming in. If we could see that world, it would change our lives completely. But folks, let me make you a promise. It does exist. There is spiritual battle that is raging in this room all around us right now. Satan doesn't want you to have anything to do with the Lord. He doesn't want you to pay attention to the Scripture. He doesn't want you to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Now notice I didn't say he doesn't want you to pay attention to the pastor. No, no, don't worry about the pastor. Let's worry about the Holy Spirit. That's who's the one who speaks to you. That is the one who gets your attention through his word. Man, I'll tell you one thing. He can make us busy, can't he? How many of us have ever been so involved in a Sunday morning that we missed the Lord? Now come on. You are so busy trying to do your thing, whether it was teach Sunday school, lead the choir. Listen, there's a lot of logistics and there's a lot of things that take place that go on. When we're passing papers back and forth and we're changing things that are going to take place moment by moment, all the way up till it happens. There are many things that could draw our attention away from the invitation of the Savior. But today, give him an ear. I don't know about you, but one of the things I love about church, when I'm not in this position, when I get a chance, which is rarely, to be able to go and hear somebody else. Yeah, that's one of the nice things about being able to go to a convention, is to go to the pastor's conference and actually get to hear some preaching instead of being the ones always doing it. And it's almost like you get in there and it's like, just relax, just let everything go. Let all the circumstances and situations around you go. To pay attention for just a few moments to what it is that God has to say to you. You see, that shouldn't be the only time we do that. That should be when we pick up the word each day in our life, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening. You know, I want to encourage you and challenge you to do that. You know, when you pick your Bible up and you get ready to read it, just take that deep breath in. And then let me give you a tidbit of advice. Turn your cell phone off. Find you a place where you can't hear the home phone ring if you have one. And let me tell you why. Because if you have one, it's going to ring. There's going to be something that Satan's going to use to try to distract you. The kids will have an emergency. Something will happen to draw you away from the precious words that the Savior wants you to hear and wants you to know that can change your life. He is providing invitations for each and every one of us. The heavenly beings were in attendance around the birth of our Savior. Yeah, the Bethlehem experience had caught the attention of the angels of God. And while the angels don't have problems and circumstances and issues like you and I do in our human life, they rejoiced over the incident at Bethlehem. Now think about it. It wasn't an easy road for Mary and Joseph. That's one of the Christmas stories that you've heard probably all of your life. The fact that they had to go. And the word tells us Mary was great with child. Not exactly ideal travel experiences, is it? You know, being in the latter months of a pregnancy and then having to ride a beast of burden somewhere far off, not being able to find a room. I don't know about you, but I'd have been that guy that's sitting there going, what do you want me to do? I can't find a room. We got here. The place is full. We weren't able to make arrangements. Travelocity was booked up. We can't find anything. What do you want me to do? We get that way, don't we? We get frustrated with the circumstance. We get frustrated with our situations. And in the midst of doing that, we allow that to incorporate who we are, and we completely miss the blessing that God has for us. Thank God that Mary and Joseph didn't miss that blessing. Thank God that the angels didn't miss that blessing. Thank God that the shepherds didn't miss that blessing. Thank God that the Magi did not miss that blessing. There were those that missed it. Remember what we've talked about even this year. There were Herod's wise men that knew where the Christ child was to be born. It was just down the road, and yet they didn't even bother to go check it out. I don't know. I think I would have been nosy enough just to have gone to look, wouldn't you? If you'd have gotten together and said, well, you know what? There could be a little bit of truth to this. Why don't we go down there and check it out? Did they do that? No. Could have been for many reasons. It could have been that they didn't find the invitation as inviting. It could have been that they felt that there were other things that were more important that took precedent over finding the Messiah. Are you making the parallel today? How many of us are doing that same thing? We have allowed everything to crowd out who Jesus is in our heart and in our life. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Some of us have put him back on the corner. Some of us, we let the pressures of the Christmas season destroy it for us. Let me tell you a sad thing to hear. Here, let me tell you something that's sad. A sad thing to hear is when somebody says, I'll tell you one thing, I'm glad Christmas is over. Well, you know what? If you're glad Christmas is over, then you didn't embrace it in the proper way. And I know what you're saying. If that's you, you just said, well, you just don't understand. That's not what I meant. Yeah, that's exactly what you meant. Because that said you had the wrong perspective of what Christmas was all about to start with. I know there are pressures. But I also know this. I've heard people say, I'll tell you one thing. You know, we had 50 people in, you know, from family. It was a revolving door. We had all these things. But imagine what it would be like without that. Imagine if nobody came by. Imagine if the kids didn't come back. So you had to cook some turkey. So you had to heat up the stove and burn the dust off of the eyes. You had to cook a few things. So it was a mess. So the kids wrote on the wall. The grandkids wrote on the walls with crayon. It'll either clean or they make paint that'll cover it up. Because let me make you a promise. Don't get too mad about crayon on the wall, because you'll sit back and say, I'll tell you what, one of these things, I want to walk through this living room and not step on all these toys. And you will. And that'll be a sad day. One of these days you'll look over if you preserved the crayon on the wall, and it will bring back fond memories. You see, folks, the steps of the journey are what make the memories that last. We're different, aren't we? Things change from year to year. Not always for the better. For some folks, this is going to be a real hard week. For some folks, there'll be empty chairs around the table. And would that they have the opportunity to once again be together in the madhouse that we see as Christmas. No, I pray that for each and every one of us, we will embrace the season for what it really is all about. That we will enjoy one another. That we're sad when it's over with. But yet it doesn't have to be over with. We can embrace it every day of our lives. Because the Lord doesn't leave us. And the Lord doesn't forsake us. We have been called to great privilege and great responsibility in Christ. The hillsides were covered with angels. The hillside were covered with angelic beings, and the stable was crowded with heavenly beings. I believe if anybody would have ever had the right to have said, could you shut some of these people out? It probably would have been Mary and Joseph. But no, they didn't. They were allowing others to experience the great joy of the birth of the Savior. Not only were there heavenly beings there, but there were plain people from Bethlehem that showed up as well. This man, no matter what happens, people go and look at things like that. We're nosy by nature, aren't we? Come on, you can say it. We're nosy by nature. If you don't think so, then ask yourself why traffic backs up for 37 miles because somebody had a fender bender on the side of the road. And the other direction, it'll back up. You know why? Because we got to rubberneck. We got to see what's going on. We got to find out what happened. We're nosy. Listen, people in Bethlehem knew something was going on. Hey, let's go see what's going on over there. I mean, I can see them now. What's going on over there? Yeah, maybe they had the opportunity to witness the angelic beings that flooded the hillsides, that flooded the stables. Let's go see what this is. And let's go check it out. Plain people from Bethlehem. The invitation covered people from all walks of life. Think about it for a moment. The shepherds, we've discussed it. The shepherds were the lowest socioeconomic group on the totem pole. They were the ones that you weren't proud to say that your son was a shepherd. Well, what's your boy doing? Well, he's a shepherd. That was not anything fancy. In fact, it was on the bottom rung. And yet, the interesting part about it was they were the first ones to get an invitation. Think about it for a moment. Isn't that great? When they got it, they saw it, they're like, wow, man, this was an unusual night. As they stood out there with their flocks, just another ordinary day, just another night of being able to try to get a little bit of rest, to try to make sure you don't lose any of the sheep, to consider your life and to consider why you chose what you chose, or the fact that you didn't choose it, but it chose you as far as a profession went. And breaking through the night, the angelic appearance. And the cool part was when they said, hey, we've got to go see this. Let's go check it out. You know, last week we talked about the Magi, the kings. We three kings of Orient. You know that song we sing? The Magi, the wise men, the wealthy. So not only was it to the lowest socioeconomic class, but also to the highest. And ironically enough, those were the ones that had the most struggles trying to find him. It took them a couple of years to be able to get to him, but yet they were on the journey. Yet they were going to go see, and yet he didn't differentiate. He didn't care whether they were there together at the same time or not. In fact, he loves it. If you look around you, we're all of different social and economic class, but yet every blood drop that ran out of our Savior ran out for those on all social economic levels, no matter where you are. All educational levels, no matter where you are. And you know what God says to us? We are to reach out and to love one another. We are to be His hands. We are to be His feet. We are to be His love to all those in our lives, in our sphere of influence, and where He's placed us. And I don't care if they're the wealthiest people in the world or they are the poorest in the world. They have value to the Savior. And the announcement, the same blood-covered, gold-embossed announcement to come to the Savior goes to each and every one, regardless of social or economic class. Plain people were invited in the presence of the Savior. They had an exciting experience, too. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 tells us, what does it say? It says, then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. When you go out of the presence of Jesus, now don't get me wrong, you don't just leave him here. He don't just hang out at 1715 Highway 68. He goes with you. But when we leave that opportunity to come corporately together in his presence, do you go away from here rejoicing over the things you've seen and the things that you've heard? Yeah, you've heard me pray before. Lord, don't let us go away from here the same way we came in. Help us to leave here different. Help us to leave here having heard from you. Help us to leave here rejoicing in what you've done. Help us to leave here loving one another. Help us to leave here changed from the way we came in. You mean every week, preacher? Yep, every week. Because every experience with the Savior can do exactly that for you and me. The shepherds left. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. What are you hearing and seeing today? It says, as it was told them. What is it that the Lord is saying to you today? We mentioned a moment ago that people from royal birth showed up there. You know, they represent those who come from the elite areas of life. And all of us probably know somebody who come from an elite area of life. Yeah. Sometimes it's ironic that that people can't seem to mix across those particular lines, you know, whether it's because of jealousy or what have you. You know, I've been blessed in my life. I'm grateful that God has put me where I am. But you know what? I'll hang out with some of the wealthiest of wealthy, and I'll hang out with some that ain't got nothing, and I ain't going to treat them any different. You know why? Because God has blessed me, and God has put them in my life for a reason. You know, I've been around people who've got more money than they'll ever be able to spend. That ain't me. But you know what? I don't treat them any different than the guy who has nothing. And yet we do that. If you don't think we do, why is it so easy for us to go to a homeless person and share Jesus as opposed to somebody who's a millionaire? You know, why don't we get together and say, okay, this is the millionaires club. We're going to go out and reach the millionaires for Jesus. Who wants to sign up? Right? Everybody's going to be going, I don't know about that. I'm kind of intimidated. But no. See, the difference is we care about what they think about us, and we really don't care about what the less fortunate think about us. When we should care about what everybody thinks about our Savior and our message that we bring forward. The crucifixion and the resurrection is the same for the wealthy as it is for the poor. And no man comes unto the Father except through Jesus, period. There's no other paths. They all have to converge into Jesus. And without Jesus, you will never, ever, ever, ever see the Father. You will not get into His presence. You won't make it past the gate, which brings me back to what we started talking about. You are cordially invited. You need to RSVP. And the reason you need to RSVP is because there is going to be someone at the gate. Now, we always like to picture the gate. We've seen enough cartoons in our day, and we've had enough St. Peter jokes at the gate that you don't want to. But you, there's going to be a point where you're not going to enter in unless you have received the invitation and unless you have RSVP'd. Remember that passage that says, there will be those who will come into the presence of the Master. Remember what he said, Lord, we did all these great things for you. You know, we preached the gospel. We did all these things. And it says, he'll look at them and he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Because not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you doing the will of the Father? Now, again, I always put this in when I make that statement about that verse. I am not preaching a works salvation because we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the Lord says, Jesus in your heart changes your life, and because of that, there will be works that will be involved. That they will follow your salvation. Or are we just too busy? Well, you know, I'd love to be involved in those things that have to do with Jesus, but golly Pete, I have such a tremendous work schedule. I'm just so busy. Busy from doing what? The things that are temporal? The things that are going to pass away? The things that aren't going to make it into heaven? I've said this before. If you're too busy for Jesus, then you're way, way, way too busy. You need to readjust and reassess your life. Plain simple. Jesus is providing us an invitation. He's passing them out. He's coming personally. By the way, he's here right now. He's going through passing out invitations. He already knows who he's giving them to. He already knows who's accepted them. And for those that haven't, you know, he's going, I'm inviting you to the greatest home on earth, the place that I prepare for you, the place that my son gave up his life and picked it back up for. The place where sin and death is conquered. The place where there is no more sorrow. The place where there is happiness all the time and there are no more tears. Would you come to the party? Oh yeah, you got a RSVP. Will you accept the invitation? And oh, by the way, you're not going to be able to show up to this one having not RSVP'd and be able to get in. You will be turned away at the door into eternal darkness, into eternal damnation, to the place which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. And some of you are thinking, well, Roy, I thought this was supposed to be an upbeat, good passage because we're heading into Christmas. It is. It is. For those who accept his invitation, it is as upbeat as it gets. But for those who don't, I'm not going to sugarcoat it today. I'm tired of the world sugarcoating and using different words to make things look more appealing that aren't. So what's it like? You're either going to accept his invitation or not. You've done that. Where you sit today, you've done that. Have you received the invitation of the Father? What are the results that come from accepting that invitation? Those who were involved in the first Christmas rejoiced. They all gathered around and rejoiced. The angel chorus sang. Think about that for a minute. Look at verses 13 and 14. I'm not asking you to trust me. It says, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The angelic choir was singing. And the joy and the praise. Listen, if you come to the party, it's going to be a good one. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss out on all of the wonders that come along with accepting the invitation to the presence of the Savior. The shepherds, verse 20 tells us, they were blessed in their heart. The wise men rejoiced all the way to Bethlehem. We read about that in Matthew 2, verse 10. And today, those who go to Bethlehem in their hearts have a great experience. You never come away the same way that you entered into the presence of our Savior. Just as the angels saw Jesus as heaven come down to earth, so do we. When we have the chance to go to Bethlehem in our hearts. Just as the shepherds saw him as the Savior of all of mankind, so do we. Just as the kings saw him as a ruler of the universe, so do we. And just as they received an invitation from the Father, so do we. My friend, you are cordially invited to the presence of the Savior. What will you do with the invitation? You see, the invitation requires an RSVP. Can't just sit around and wait on it. It's a done deal. You know what? Even though there are times when you think that just maybe that invitation's not any good. The Lord says, I've got it on record. I got a record up here. I wrote it down in a book. So even if you show up and you don't feel like you got your card with you, your invitation, I got it written down. It's all good. Come on in. Oh, and here's the cool part. He's going to call you by name. He's going to call you by name. Paul, come on in. Cherie, come on in. Yeah. Judy, come on in. Good to see you. Welcome to the party. Welcome to all of eternity. Thank you for RSVPing. Is that a word? RSVPing? Let me change that. Thank you for your RSVP. Have you done that today? Now is your chance. Now is your choice. So what are you going to do with it? For those of you who have accepted and received the invitation. And you've already RSVP'd. I can't wait to see you at the party. I'm going to be there. I've got mine. Are you coming? Listen, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be great. Have you received yours? Oh, listen, let me make you a promise. It's there. You're not going to be able to say, well, mine didn't show up in the mail. Oh, no. No, it's showing up right now. I'm going to ask our musicians if they would go ahead and take their places for our invitation. Well, we've been talking about invitations all day, haven't we? Well, I just didn't get mine. Oh, no, you're getting it right now. You see, the Holy Spirit is already knocking at your heart's door, and what He has in His hand is your invitation. He's saying, will you trust Jesus? Will you trust my son? Have you done that? Maybe you're joining us online today, and you've never done that. Maybe you're sitting right here in this place and you've never done that. Listen, how do you accept and receive his invitation? You can simply say, Lord, today I know I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Forgive my sins. Help me live for you in Jesus' name. You know what he did? If you did that and meant it, he goes, thank you for the RSVP. I'm writing that down right now. It's written in blood in the book of life in heaven. And I'll see you at the party. Now listen, don't hide your invitation. If you got one of them fancy invitations, you know what you'd do. You'd be like Barney Fife on that time he went to the Esquire Club. Y'all remember that, don't you? He let everybody know. You look, hey, look what I got. Look what I got. Got my invitation. Did you get one? Yeah, I got one too. Here's mine. So you know what? If you received the Lord's invitation today and you've trusted Him, in just a moment as we begin our invitation, please let me know. We want to celebrate. Listen, we're a body of believers. We think that's the greatest thing in the world. That's what we're here for. If you're part of our online audience, maybe driving down the road, maybe sitting at your house and you trusted in Christ, please let Dr. Cazito know right now online. Just say, hey, look, have that preacher guy give me a call. He'll make sure I know before we get out of this place because we want to celebrate with you because God's amazing, isn't he? Maybe there's just some things that you needed to be reminded of today. Maybe you're in your life, you're going through the drawer to find the invitation that you've pushed aside, that you've forgotten about. Maybe it's today that you make it important again in your life, the time that you come back to Him. Maybe if that's you today, you can just simply say, Lord, I've been wayward. My priorities are messed up. Help me, Lord, as I come back to you to get it right. Thank you for the invitation. I've RSVP'd. I'll see you there. And Lord, we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Did you do that? Maybe you need this altar. Whatever it is, make it right with Him today that you can leave here changed and excited for the Savior. If you need me, I'm here. As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, you do business with God no matter where you are. Closed, you continue to do business with God. Don't let this moment get away from you. And as you do that, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Amen. As a reminder, I just want to remind folks once again that this is one of the days of our in-gathering for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for foreign missions. For those of you who may not be familiar with it, all this money goes I call it the old days, the Foreign Mission Board, but it is the International Mission Board that keeps our foreign missions on the field so that they can spread the good news of Jesus Christ. All this money goes towards that. If you're putting it in an envelope, if you hadn't even thought about it, there are some in the back of the pew. You can write Lottie Moon on that. We'll make sure it gets where it's going. But please don't take away from your regular tithe and offering to support the Lottie Moon offering. Our goal this year is $9,000. We'll have the in-gathering today as well as next week. And we look forward to seeing what God can do through that. Let's pray together. Father, as we come into your presence today again, we're grateful and thankful for all the provision that you provide in our lives. Lord, we're thankful for those that you have called to send to the mission field. Lord, we pray that through our being obedient to you, we will be able to see you do great things as we support those missionaries on the field, as well as those that are right here at home. Father, continue to keep us faithful as you bless us. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Son.
get you out the door. Don't forget this evening. We have an evening of Christmas music that'll start right here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock. That'll be followed by some refreshments and a time of fellowship over in the multi-purpose building slash gym slash fellowship hall slash whatever you want to call it over there. So 6 o'clock tonight, come for an evening of Christmas music and fellowship with refreshments following. Also, don't forget the Lottie Moon Post Office. Now, some of y'all might be going, what is that? That's we set up a box that's alphabetical, looks like an old-timey post office right over. We've got it outside the office area. So if you go in the double glass doors right out there where Debbie sits, we put it over there to make it easier for people to access and people to get to. But that's where people put Christmas cards for folks in the church. So go over there, find the letterbox corresponding with your last name, flip through it, and you can pick up Christmas cards. If you have them to give to people, you can put them in there. That way people will have an opportunity to see that. The idea behind that was that way that saved you the postage on sending Christmas cards to people that you could actually convert into Lottie Moon money. So they take the postage that you would spend on that, and you could be able to give it to a Lottie Moon offering. But anyway, doors are open over there on your way out. You can go by double glass doors, and you'll see it right there. Be sure to go by, pick up, drop off, whatever you want to do. That is there throughout the week. During office hours, you can come by and check that as well. Finally, don't forget that this coming week, Christmas Eve, we will have our Christmas Eve communion at 6 o'clock and 6:30. Now, for those of you who've been here, you know what I'm talking about. It's just a few minutes. I usually called it from 6 to 6:15 and from 6:30 to 6:45. Just long enough for us to come in, to be still in the midst of the push and shove that we know is Christmas, to reflect on why we truly celebrate the Christmas season. It is just simple communion, and then you go. If you have family from out of town, come on by. Bring them with you. If they say they didn't bring a suit of clothes, they don't need a suit of clothes. Just as long as they got some britches and a top on, that's fine. It's nothing special or fancy, just the time to be able to come and reflect. We would love to have you come. If you're part of our community or if you're in this area, we would love to have you come by and spend that few minutes just remembering why we truly celebrate the Christmas season. That is Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock and 6:30, one or the other, okay? Just real quick, this week, birthdays, Seth Blevins has birthday tomorrow. Tim, our own Tim back there, Tim Wharf has birthday on Wednesday, and then Leonard Stafford has a birthday on Thursday. So if you're a card sender, call sender, text sender, whatever, be sure to let them know that you're celebrating with them on their birthday. And let's all stand, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you again, we're so grateful and thankful for the invitation that you have cordially invited us to eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you for the birth of our Savior that lived some 33 sinless years in this world and gave up his life and picked it back up that we might have eternal life. Father, what a blessing that is. And to know that he calls me by name personally, that he did all this for me. If there was no one else in the world, he still would have gone to Calvary for me. Lord, I pray that you will help us to live in such a fashion that is pleasing to you. May we truly reflect on what Christmas is really all about. And Lord, may we accept the invitation and see you in eternal life. Be with each and every person as we go away from this place today and bring us back again that we may worship together again this evening. Lord, I pray that you will just bless our heart and bless the hearts and lives of those around us because we've been in your presence. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tonight.